Hi, I'm Amelia, and you're listening to BG Hidden Gems. Today I'm here with Leah Ritchie, the owner of A Sharer's Garden. Leah, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Amelia. Thank you.
How has your day been so far?
It's been hectic, but great.
Hectic? Have you been at the store today?
Yes.
What does this typical day at the store kind of look like for you?
Gosh, is there typical? I mean, so we're open 5 days a week. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then on Saturdays as well from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So it involves me getting up, caring for my dogs, and then getting right to work. I'm usually working from home by about 8 a.m., just doing paperwork and the things that come along with being self-employed. It is not glamorous. And then driving to the shop. I live here in town, so it's a really short commute, which I love. When I bought my house, that was a consideration. I'm not a commuter.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's just, you know, looking the store over, making sure that it's as presentable as I can make it. And then, you know, we turn on the music and turn on the lights and hope that everyone comes in.
So the name, A Sharer's Garden, you had been talking to me about this a little bit before. Can you explain the meaning of that and kind of the confusion people sometimes have?
Yeah. So the confusion, is that I am a Sharer. I wish I was that cool. I strive to be that cool, but no. As you mentioned, my name's Leah. Asherah is an ancient Mesopotamian goddess. She is, as far as I know, and I am not an anthropologist, but to my knowledge, she is the original mother goddess that we have record of. And for a really long time, she was buried in history. I mean, we didn't know anything about her. And then sometime late 80s, early 90s, there ended up being an archaeological dig. I don't know if it was supposed to be one, but there was one in what's now Syria. And they just kept pulling her artifacts out of the ground. They had clay tablets. So at the time, we didn't have metal yet. Mm-hmm. So they wrote on these clay tablets. So we were pulling out information that way. We were pulling out figurines, and we learned so much about her. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling you, she is, well, let me back up. When the Semitic tribes were starting to consolidate and eventually become what we would know as Judaism now, mm-hmm. Yahweh was her husband. So, you know, you could say God was her husband, mm-hmm. which makes her just, you know, Wonder Woman. I mean, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. I actually first heard about her in a cyberpunk novel called Snow Crash. Everyone should read it. It's fun. But the first time I read her name, I got goosebumps everywhere. And that's when I started researching her, because there was just like this instant connection. It's called a full-service holistic boutique because it's so unique. I really had a hard time describing it for mm-hmm. folks. But the reason we call it full service is because I do offer holistic healing modalities. So things like Reiki that you may have heard of before, angel card readings, hypnotherapy, all sorts of really wonderful, useful modalities. And then the boutique itself is, I like to say, a collection of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't modeled off of anything, you know, so went the complete opposite way that any business major would have been taught to do this. But, we have natural, you know, plant-based, real, non-synthetic incense. Mm-hmm. We have organic herbs and spices and teas. Crystals, of course, are the huge draw. Mm-hmm. But we also have decks, so like oracle decks. So tarot may be one form of oracle you've heard of before.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was like a kind of thing. What is, mm-hmm. what's oracle?
So oracle is something that helps you discern. Mm-hmm. So it helps us to better understand what has happened, what is happening, and what has the potential to mm-hmm. happen. So there's all different kinds of oracle. Like I said, tarot is the one that most people have heard of, mm-hmm. but runes would be another example of an oracle. Some people throw bones. Some people do angel cards, like myself, which is just another form of Oracle. And like I said, it just helps us to make better choices because it helps us to maybe see through a more clear lens in our life. So
that's interesting. Can you talk about a little bit what the angel cards are? I've had, I recently had my cards read, like tarot reading, but I've never heard of like angel cards.
Yeah. So, angel cards are very, they're like tarot in the sense it's a deck of cards. Each card has a meaning that the author of the deck intended it to have. And you can read an Oracle deck kind of what we call straight. And that means that you sort of memorize, you know, the guidebook. You memorize what the author had in mind. I know people who read straight. I do not. I very much allow my intuition to influence what I see in the card at any given moment with any given client. I have learned over the years that my ability to communicate with the angelic realm is quite strong. Them fairies and unicorns. And again, talk about being cynical when someone told me I could do this. I mean, I really revolted for quite some time.
So how far back does your belief in all of this, the spirituality, the crystals and things like that, has that been since you were a kid? I mean, when did it start? How did you get into all of it?
That's a really fantastic question that I'm not entirely sure how to answer. So when it comes to rocks and stones, I've always picked them up, right? My mom says I must have been a bird in a former life because if it's shiny, I'm like, ooh, pretty. How are you? You know. So like so many children, I mean, frankly, every kid I know, you know, picks up pretty rocks from the driveway, from the beach, you know, from their walk in the woods and shoves them in their pocket. Because intrinsically, I think we have a relationship with these minerals and something inside of us recognizes that we want to have them close.
That's so interesting.
Now, that said, people very much like I am now, when I was younger, would bring me like this really fabulous crystal, right? Like some quartz cluster or something. And they would explain to me all of the fancy things that now I can tell people about. And in the back of my head, you know, I'm nodding, I'm smiling, I'm listening. I'm very excited by their excitement. But in the back of my head, I'm like, buy another bangle bracelet, like you weirdo. So I get that part of it. I think it was in 2007 that I started my holistic degree. It's going to school for that. And still at that time, I just thought that was more woo-woo than I really, you know, had yet grasped. But the very first class I took was an energy class. So it was just sort of dipping your toe in all these different holistic and energetic modalities. And of course, crystals came up. And that we took a field trip to a crystal shop. I think it still exists. It's called House of Ravenwood in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And
I've actually been there. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a great shop. It's a fantastic shop, and the owner is also named Leah, which I just find fun. But that was the first time a stone really affected me. There was this beautiful piece of orange barite. Barite comes in many different forms, but this one had like fins, like all these different fins. And I just, I wanted to hold it. And Leah's husband, whose name I don't remember, came up to me. He's like, you want to touch it? And I was like, yes. So this is the middle of winter, right? I have like 17 different layers on, like hat, scarf, all the things. He places it in my hand. I'm giving it a cuddle. I'm loving it so much. It's so beautiful. And I am burning up hot. I'm in like the corner of this store, like doing a striptease, like taking off, you know, all my layers. I don't understand why this is happening. This is the first time I had a physical reaction to a crystal. And at that, and I still have it. It's in my bedroom. I bought it, I took it home.
That's awesome.
But at that point, you know, I could not be cynical like I had previously, mm-hmm. that had happened. It happened to me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really started digging in. It was a professor of mine. She was just like, you know, you can do this. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. But I don't know what you're talking about. and I remember because she was always like, and I'm holding my fingers like an inch apart. She was like, you're this close. And for years, I was this close. For mm-hmm. years, I tried and tried and tried and pushed and pushed and practiced and practiced and practiced. And it just never clicked. And then one day it did. And that's, I have to say that I have found that to be true with a lot of things in life. When you stop pushing, when you stop grasping for it, it falls in your lap.
Was this always the way you wanted to go?
No.
What did you, okay, so maybe like high school, what were you thinking like?
From the time I was in third grade, I was going to sing.
Really?
Yeah, there's a reason I use musical analogies. Yeah, when I was in third grade, I came home, I announced to my family, like, I'm going to sing for a living. This is what I'm going to do. I really wanted to be on Broadway, but mm-hmm. I was not particularly graceful. And dancing is a key, a key skill set for Broadway. So I actually came to BGSU as a vocal performance major. I was studying opera.
That's so cool. I didn't know you went here. That's yes. awesome.
Yes. That's not how I graduated, but that is how I arrived.
Yeah. That's so cool. What did the rest of like your academic career look like then?
Well, my freshman year, I was in a really horrific car accident. I crushed both my lungs, and that was just the end of that. And it was the first time the world tipped in order to push me in a new direction. It's happened 3 times. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend it. Please just take your cues. Do not make the universe push you out of a path. But after that, I was very lost because, like I said, this is what had been my goal forever. Yeah. I remember coming home, sitting in my mother's kitchen, just beside myself, not knowing what I wanted to do. And she was just like, what do you love? And I was like, I love children. I think that if we stopped telling them that they couldn't, they would be able to fly. You know, mm-hmm. that potential, that just raw
yeah.
ability. And I wanted to play with that. So I decided I wanted to be a multicultural creative arts preschool administrator. That's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Wasn't a huge fan of our education system. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's understandable. My mom's a teacher. I understand hardships of that.
It's hard. So I was trying to figure out how am I going to do this mm-hmm. without a formal like education, mm-hmm. but still be competent enough that someone would drop their children into my care. Mm-hmm. So for a hot second, I triple majored in pre-K certification, psychology, and what at the time was called child and family community services. It was mm-hmm. a human development course.
Okay.
and I did end up nannying. I went to a Montessori preschool, which was fantastic and probably why I love the potential of young people. Mm-hmm. And as I was nannying, they went to a Montessori, or maybe it was Waldorf school, I don't know, this little mm-hmm. day camp in Camden, Maine. And I went and, you know, this coupled with other experiences made me realize that the reality is I don't have the patience for the parents. Mm-hmm. I really, really love the children. But I knew from the get-go to have the kind of facility I wanted, I would have to have a sliding fee scale, mm-hmm. which meant I would have to have wealthier folks subsidize the lower ends of the fee scale. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted that. I wanted that diverse socioeconomic interaction of yeah. young people so that they would grow up knowing the differences yeah. than what they came from. Mm-hmm. But it just, I was never going to be able to smile and nod mm-hmm. the correct
that,
amount.
I can definitely understand that.
So I ended up dropping that pre-K cert major. I did mm-hmm. finish the other ones. Mm-hmm. But instead, I went on a trip to the South Bronx. to learn about grassroots organizing and nonprofit work. And that's when I fell in love with harm reduction.
Harm reduction, okay.
So harm reduction is a philosophy of life, but in the United States it's used how do I put this correctly? Mm-hmm. working with people who use different substances, mm-hmm. what most people would call drug use. Mm-hmm. This is a different philosophy than many. It's starting to hit Ohio finally now, mm-hmm. 25 years later. But it's about meeting people where they are at and trusting them to make good choices for themselves, not mm-hmm. assuming that because they differ in one choice that they can't make a good decision for themselves.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I did two internships in New York City working at a syringe exchange and harm reduction center, and that's where I came into holistic health. It's the first time I ever saw food used as medicine, mm-hmm. first time I ever heard of Reiki or experienced it, first time I ever experienced acupuncture, drumming, all of these things.
That's so interesting. You'd mentioned Reiki. Did you have, I'm not sure what the correct verbiage would be, but did you have it like done to you or doing it to, I don't know.
No. I'm laughing because I do everything backwards, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like even how I got into holistic health, so backwards, right? So at the syringe exchange one evening during one of the groups, three different Reiki masters were in the space and they were beaming this energy into the room and it was intense and
wow.
Just amazing. So I remember calling my best friend, mm-hmm. like walking home, and I'm like, oh my goodness, tell him all about what had just happened. I was like, it's like I just did ecstasy. I don't know if you're allowed to say that. I was like, I feel so connected to everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the streetlights are bouncing up from the broken glass like diamonds. It's just this amazing experience. And I was hooked. But I share that because it wasn't until I was actually attuned, after I was attuned, mm-hmm. that I ever had a Reiki session.
I can see a little backwards, but that is so interesting. I can't imagine what that like felt like being in that room, like feeling yeah. all of that. That's just so interesting. I really am interested in getting like, how would you word that?
A Reiki session.
So would you say like having a Reiki session done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I would like to have a Reiki session done. I think that is all we have for today. Can you talk about where people can find you at if they want to visit the store?
Absolutely. Asherah's Garden is located at 315 North Grove Street. So it's a little off the beaten path if you're familiar with where Brewing Green is, mm-hmm. or what will soon be the new Jack and Doe's Pizza Hangout. We're right across the street.
Oh.
We have our own parking, which is very, very nice. But yeah, 315 North Grove Street. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.